shiur on the Machzor, and I had the chance to speak for a few minutes, and there was an idea that I started to develop then, and I want to try to develop a little bit more fully tonight. And I had a conversation with a young woman in Stern this week, which also got me thinking about this topic. So I'll begin with a story that appears in a early 19th century volume of Minhagim called Likutei Maharich. He brings, in source number one, he quotes the Magen Avraham, and brings in the name of the Shlach Kadosh, that the Baal Tokeya and the Chazanim have to make sure that they spend a couple of days before Yontiv preparing themselves to do their task. They need to know the Machzor well, they need to know the different parts of the davening. The Baal Tokeya needs to pull out his shofar and he needs to practice to get himself ready to learn the piyutim and to know all the different sounds that the Baal Tokeya needs to make sure everything is ready to go. So he tells a story in the fourth line. He says that I heard from Harav HaKadosh Rav Mordechai Minadvarna. The holy Rav Mordechai of Nadvarna one time met a fellow before Rosh Hashanah. Shekodem Rosh Hashanah haya etzlo ish echad. He met up with a certain fellow before Rosh Hashanah. V'kasher bo lito rishus liftor. And when the fellow came, he said, Rebbe, I have to go. He asked permission to excuse himself. Shalu, so the Rebbe asked him, Mibnei ma nechpaz latzeis. Where are you running to? Spend some time, you know, the Hasidic court. Spend some time by the Rebbe. V'heishiv shehu bal tefillah. So he said to him, what do you mean? There's a halacha. Bal tefillah's got to get ready. It's only a few days till Rosh Hashanah. V'tzarech l'sadr lo ha-tefillos. I need to prepare the tefillos. As he said to him in Yiddish, B'lashon Ashkenaz, Ibritzu zayin das machzer. I need to look over the machzer. So Rav Mordechai of Nadvarna said to the fellow, Amr lo, Rav HaKadosh, Rav Mordechai said, Ha-machzer hu kmo b'shnas eshtakot. The machzer is the same machzer that you had sitting on the shelf from last year. Nor dich ibrza. You need to look yourself over. You've changed. The words are the same. You've been a chazan for the last 25 years. You don't need to look over the machzer. You need to prepare yourself. And I really feel, as much as it is very important, and tzaddikim emphasize the importance of preparing the davening, so we know what we're saying. You know, sometimes we're in the middle of davening, like, oh, that's what that means. I look over at the English. Oh, that's a night. Oh, I should talk and think about that. It's good to prepare the machzer, but it's even more important, and this was the point of Mordechai of Nadvarna was trying to make, it's even more important to prepare ourselves. The Mishnah says in Brachos that the Chasidim Harishonim, the early pious ones, would spend a whole hour, Hayusholim Shah Achas, Umispalim. They would sit for an hour before they would open their mouths to daven, a regular Shmona Esrei. And Rav Aaron of Belz used to say that the whole month of Elul is supposed to be like that Chasidim Rishonim Hayusholim Shah Achas. The 30 days of Elul, we're sitting, so to speak, getting ourselves ready, preparing to dare to open our mouths before the King of all kings. So I want to try to understand a theme that appears throughout the Machzor, but really as a way of looking ourselves over, as preparing ourselves. If you look in the second source, there's a word that appears a lot. It's a word that appears a lot in davening in general, but I think we highlight it in a particular way on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that is the word emes. To be real, to be true, to be sincere. Just take a look at this short list. V'taher libeinu la'avdecha be'emes. This is the words that precede the bracha, which is the bracha on the day, the bracha on the Yom Tov. What do we say? V'taher libeinu la'avdecha be'emes. Purify our hearts to serve you in truth and sincerity. Ki ata Elokim emes, because you're a God of truth. U'devarcha emes, and your words are true. V'kayim la'ad. Baruch ata Hashem melech al kol ha'aretz mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron. So we introduce the bracha on the day, Kedushas Hayom, by saying, Hashem, we want to be emistic because you're emistic and your words are emistic. The Jewish people should be emistic. The Torah is emistic. Hashem, you're emistic. Right? The tefillah goes on. We have so many examples, just a couple of examples. Yosher mishalech lefanov be'emes. Eich acharei hadvarim v'ha'emes. Chishav pa'alo alokim emes. It's just one of the many piyutim that, again, highlight emes, emes, emes. That everything that's taking place in Rosh Hashanah, emes ki atahu yotzram. V'chol ma'aminim shehu dayan, emes. Right? Emes is the operative word throughout these days. And the reason that that's so is because it's a time of mishpat. The Eretz Tzvi, the Kodjaglover, Hashem should avenge his blood. He was the Av Basin of Kodjaglov. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin in his time. And he writes a few weeks ago, and I have to know who the Kotzker was. Menachem Mendel of Kotzk was in Yishemes. They even say, the pasuk that says, Eretz, emes me eretz titzmach, emes sprouts from the ground. They used to say, emes me kotzk titzmach. And actually, kotzk is the same gematria as the word eretz. Right? Emes me eretz, emes me kotzk titzmach. That truth sprouts from kotzk. The kotzk rabbi was very demanding, fiercely demanding of himself and his followers. That's why there aren't too many kotzker chassidim in the world today. Right? We have wrestlers and we have babavers and we have samar. There's no kotzker chassidim in the world because it was very, very, very demanding. So the kotzker rabbi said this one line that again helped me to formulate what I'm trying to share with you tonight. And the kotzker lover quotes it in source number 3, in the middle of the first line. Shemati b'shem harav hakadosh mikotzk. I heard from the holy kotzker. Shehegir b'zeh halashon. He said in the following phrase. Rosh Hashanah Mishpat Man Ois Vos Ver Is. The judgment of Rosh Hashanah judges what is true. And Rosh Hashanah Hashem wants to see what's really the emes. What's really the emes? Rosh Hashanah Mevarim B'Mishpat Ma Amiti. Right? What's true? What's real? Who are you for real? And then he quotes another line from the Kotzk, which will be very important to us. Od Higir Harav HaKadosh Mikotzk. She'i efshar l'shum adam l'hagia la'amitas nekudas ha'emes. It's impossible for a person to reach the true level of emes, to get to that point, the truth of all truth, rak ha'kohen gadol b'yom ha'kippurim b'shah shahayah lefnai v'lefnem. The greatest Jew in the greatest place at the greatest time maybe can make contact with that point of truth. What does that mean? Rosh Hashanah is a mishpat that's judging truth. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol maybe can get to that point where he really touches that nekuda of emes. What exactly does emes have to do with these days? So let's start from the beginning. Start mamish from the beginning. If I asked you to pick a word, one word to describe God, what would you say? What word would you use to try to capture the essence of Hashem? Hashem Elokeichem. Emes, like we say in Shema. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim. There's not a pasuk that says Hashem Elokeichem Emes. The pasuk ends Hashem Elokeichem, but we attach it to Emes. You have a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says Hashem Elokim Emes. You have a pasuk in Tehillim that says Hashem Kel Emes. Emes is certainly a word that captures the essence, if we could say such a thing, of who Hashem is. Hashem is true. Emes is eternal. Emes is a good word to describe Hashem, and that's why the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos in the fourth source tells us that Chosamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who emes? The seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The signet ring, the Chosem, the stamp of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the stamp of emes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu stamps it all over everything. You open up the Torah, you go back to the beginning. Hashem wants to create a world. God who is true wants to create a world which is true. Bereishis Bara Elokim. Bereishis Bara Elokim. What's the difference between the name Elokim and the name Hashem, Yudke Vavke? Elokim is Hashem's name of Din, of Mishpat. And like the Kotzker Rebbe told us, when it's a time of Mishpat, when something's being judged, we want to judge what's true, what it really is. So when Hashem intended to create the world, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bereishis Bara, I've got this great idea, Elokim. I'd like to make an emesdik world. I'd like to make a world that's authentic, that's true, that's demanding, that has expectations. Kodesh Baruch Hu has expectations for the world. Like it says elsewhere in Pirkei Avos, Hashem is demanding. Hashem has expectations for us. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, as he's creating a world of Mishpat, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Hashem is stamping emes all over everything. Says the Baal HaTurim in source number 5, Bereishis Bara Elokim, look at the last three letters, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Sofei Tevos, Emes. Hashem stamped the first three words of the Torah with a stamp that says Emes. Milamei Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu HaOlam BeEmes. God created the world with truth. Like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Rosh Devarcha Emes. The beginning of your words are true. And that's exactly what Hashem did. Bereishis Bara Elokim. The last three letters are stamped with the stamp of Emes. Says the Baal HaTurim, just keep looking all over these psukim. You'll see it everywhere. Start from the second word. Bara Elokim es, sofei tevos emes. Vayar Elokim es, sofei tevos emes. Vayivra Elokim es, sofei tevos emes. Bara Elokim laasos, sofei tevos emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stamped all over the opening psukim of the Torah, Emes, 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 because Hashem says, I want a world that's true. I want a world that's real. I want a world that's sincere. I want a world that's authentic. And of course, creation of the world, Hayom Haras Olam, in our Rosh Hashanah context, is also very much taking place here. Says the Baal HaTurim in source number 6, Bereishis rearranged. The Baal HaTurim was a master of letters. He understood that the letters are the energy of creation. Take the first word of the Torah, Bereishis, and just rearrange the letters ever so slightly. Says the Baal HaTurim in source number 6, Osios Aleph B'Tishrei. Bereishis is the same letters as Aleph B'Tishrei, because that's when Nivra HaOlam, that's when the world was created. And then he adds one more remez, as he's known to do. Bereishis bara is gematria berosh hashana nivra. So we see that Rosh Hashanah and creation and the name Elohim, Midas Hadin, a demanding God, a God of truth, they all come together at the very beginning of the Torah. At the very beginning of the Torah, Mishpat, Din, Elohim, Rosh Hashanah, Emes, it all comes together. Because Mishpat always means, that's what Mishpat is, judgment means. Being able, like the Kotzker said, to see what it really is. To stop playing games and pretending it's something else. But Mishpat and Emes always go hand in hand. I'll give you one proof to this idea. The Kohen Gadol had a Choshen Mishpat. A Choshen Mishpat, a breastplate of Mishpat. Writes Rashi in Parshas Tetzav in source number 7. Why was it called a Choshen Mishpat? Shemechaper al kilkul hadin. Because it comes to correct a perversion of din. Davar acher, says Rashi, mishpat, shemivarer dvarav. It substantiates its statements. V'hav tachaso emes. And its promises are true. Mishpat has to be emes. That's the nature of mishpat. A corrupt judge is the worst thing in the world. It undermines the whole purpose of what he's doing, what he's trying to do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and Hashem wanted the world to be a world of Midas HaDin, an exacting, precise, and demanding world. But as we all know, we're human beings, right? That's like the little problem with this whole equation. We're human beings. We make a lot of mistakes. We're not always able to exactly meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perfect expectations for us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His infinite kindness, after beginning the Torah with Elohim, Bereishis Bara Elohim, Hashem says, okay, I got to soften this up a little bit. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to add some of His kindness and some of His mercy, some of His chesed, some of His rachamim. And that's why as Bereishis unfolds, the name Yudke Vavke, the name of Hashem's kindness and mercy, starts to appear on the pages of the Torah. So let me ask you a question. If Bereishis Bara Elohim, Sofei Tevos Emes, if Hashem wanted to make the world a world that was true, a world that was demanding, a world that was precise, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, abandoned the plan and decided, okay, human beings can't handle it, fine, I'll give them a little rachmanis. So does that mean the world is not emistic anymore? Does that mean that Hashem's world is now sheker? So part of the answer is yes, this is an alma de shikra. The world always was a world of falsehood. But how could it be that a God whose very essence is emes, the stamp of Hashem, chosamo shel kadosh baruch hu emes, how could it be God changed His mind? It's a hard concept. Theologically, what does that mean, God changed His mind? It must be that the world is still emes. It must be there's different types of emes. It must be there's something that's called emes, and there's something that's called emes la'amito. I'll give you a simple example. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, right? Two great tzaddikim, two great yeshivas. They're both emes. Eilu ve'eilu devei Elokim chayim. Which one is right? They're both right. We happen to paskin a lot like Hillel in this world. The Svarim HaKadoshim say maybe in the next world we'll get back to the world of Beis Shammai. One way to distinguish, to describe Beis Hillel versus Beis Shammai is to refer to them as emes and emes la'amita. Beis Hillel looks at emes with the background and the context. Beis Shammai says, no, I'm only interested in real emes. Real emes. Emes la'amita. So again, just two quick examples. So when the convert comes to Hillel and Shammai in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph, and he says, teach me the whole Torah while standing on one foot. So Hillel's so loving, and he embraces him, and he teaches him. What does Shammai do? Chases him out of town. Shammai was involved in construction. That was his profession. Even the greatest Tanaim had professions. So Shammai was involved in building. So the Gemara says he chased him away with his builder's rod, which the Gemara refers to as an amas habinyan. It's called an amas because it was the measure of an amma, but the word is emes. But amas habinyan means be'emes. He chased him away with emes. You can't learn the Torah on one foot. Get out of here. Come back when you're ready to, you know. Beis Shammai was kotzk. Beis Hillel says, you know, we'll work with you. We'll meet you where you are. Or how about the famous example of the Gemara in Ksubis? The Gemara in Ksubis on Tazayin Amud Beis, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Ketzad, it's not on the page in front of you. Ketzad merakdin lifnei akala. No? What do you say? What should one say? How does one praise the kala at the wedding? So Beis Shammai says, kala kamoshi. Give her a praise in accordance with, you know, how she looks. If she looks okay, so you look okay. Right? I dare you to try that to a kala. You look, you know. She's like, I look my best, right? Not bad. You know, you look nice. Kala kamoshi. Say it like it is. Beis Hillel says, what are you, out of your mind? Kala nova chasuda. She's beautiful. This is the most beautiful kala I ever saw in the world. So Beis Shammai says back to Beis Hillel, but doesn't it say in the Torah, midvar sheker tirchak? If she's not the most beautiful in the world, so don't say she's the most beautiful in the world. So Beis Hillel says, no. Emes has to be seen in context. To the guy who's marrying her, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. Right? And he says, don't I have the most amazing bride? Yeah, you're the most amazing bride. Unbelievable. Wow. Amazing midos. She's beautiful. Great personality. That's in his world, that's the Emes. So Beis Hillel is the world of truth. And Beis Shammai is the world of, again, what's referred to sometimes in the Sfarim, Emes La'amito, as the ultimate truth. So when Hashem wanted to create the world, the original plan was what? Bereshis Bara Elokim. Emes, 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 Emes stamped all over it. Bereshis Bara Elokim, a demanding world, a precise world, an ignorant world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to create a world of Emes La'amito. And afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to settle for Emes. But every year on Rosh Hashanah, we try to get back to that level, on some level. We try, on some level, to get back to Bereshis, the same letters as Aleph, Betishrei. We try to say, Hashem, I don't want to use the MS that has a little bit of Chesed mixed into it. I know if I need it, you'll do it for me. I know you'll save me, you'll bail me out with that shofar, whatever it is, to soften the din. I know if I need it, you got my back, Hashem. But when I show up on Aleph, Betishrei, Osios Bereshis, and I think Bereshis Bar Elokim, a God of justice, a melech who is Ohev Tztaku Mishpat, which we changed to HaMelech HaMishpat. We emphasize the Malchus, a king's decree, which can't be overturned so easily, says the Gemara. It's the whole problem with Ahasuerus. He issues a decree, he can't repeal the decree. It's the whole problem with Megillas Esther. So when I show up on Rosh Hashanah, I have to say, Hashem, I'm not looking for the fast track of, you know, MS with all the rationalization and seeing my life in context. I'm here to give you MS La'amito. I'm here to give you the real thing. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov was once approached by his Talmud, Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Nassim had a very difficult life. There's an amazing English biography. If you have the heart to read it, it's painful. Rabbi Nassim suffered a lot. He had a father-in-law who gave him a lot of trouble. He had a wife who gave him a lot of trouble. And he wanted so badly just to be a chassid and to cling to Rabbi Nachman. He had financial woes. He had all sorts of problems with his family. All sorts of things. They were literally trying to kill Rabbi Nassim. There was a hit on his head. They were trying to, not just like they wanted to destroy his reputation. They wanted to physically kill him. He had a very hard life. At one point, his wife was pressuring him, for financial reasons, understandably so, that he should take a particular rabbinic post. Okay, I'm not going to make a move without Rabbeinu. So he goes to Rabbi Nachman and he asks Rabbi Nachman what to do. So Rabbi Nachman says, no, tell me about the job, you know. What type of, I don't know, what's the compensation? Do they give you health insurance? I don't know what they were. Rabbi Nachman wasn't into doctors, so he probably wasn't into health insurance. Yeah, what's the package, you know? What does it look like? Okay. So Rabbi Nachman says, I think you should take it. I think it's appropriate. At this stage of your life, I think you should take it. So Rabbi Nassim looks at his Rebbe with his piercing eyes and he says, Rebbe, emes? Be'emes I should take it? So Rabbi Nachman says, yeah, be'emes. No, I'm serious. You should take it. You should take it. I'm not just trying to make your wife happy. No, I thought about it. You presented it. I heard it. You should take the job. Rabbi Nassim's about to walk away and he looks back at Rabbi Nachman one more time and he says, Rebbe, emes la'amito? So Rabbi Nachman says, emes la'amito, you shouldn't take it. Emes la'amito, you shouldn't take the job. No, what does that mean? Emes la'amito. Emes la'amito, you should be my Talmud. And you should write Likutei Moran, right? And you should give Rabbi Nachman a voice in the world. Rabbi Nachman said, without my Nasan, without my Reb Nasan, people wouldn't even know about me. As tens of thousands of people stream to Uman for the next couple of days. Right? MS, it's a good cheshbon. Your wife's right. You should take the job. You need the money. Be a mensch, you know, provide for your family. MS la'amito, you have a higher calling. Right? That's MS versus MS la'amito. That's Beis Shammai and that's Beis Hillel. That's most of the year. That's after Bereishis starts to unfold versus how I want to show up on Rosh Hashanah. Where I want to say, Hashem, I'm prepared to give you MS la'amito. Let's learn how Emes Dikah Kodesh Baruch Hu actually is. There's a beautiful piece from the Bnei Yisasser in his writings on Chumash in the Sefer Agra Dekala in source number 8. An amazing, amazing explanation of a term that we use, it's based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, a term that we use once a month when we recite Kiddush Levana. We refer to Hashem as a Poel Emes Shepu'ulaso Emes. Right? Sounds familiar? Poel Emes Poel MS, a true craftsman, Shepu'ulaso MS, whose craft is true. Whose artistry is true. What does that mean? Says the Agra Dekal, it's in Bereishis, in source number 8. Bereishis Bar Elokim. Dihine yadua kol poel uman makdim b'machshavto lasos davar hanifal b'chdei lahashlim chesron. When a craftsman, when a worker, when someone is creating something, anything, a product, they think to themselves, why am I creating this product? What void am I trying to fill? There's a chisaron. There's something that's lacking, and I'm trying to fill that void. Be'eza davar shenechsarlo. Something's missing, and I need to create something to fill that void. U'makdim b'machshavto tzorech ha'pu'ula l'tovaso. And he thinks, how is this thing going to be able to benefit me? I have a problem. This object is going to solve my problem. I don't like going down to the river to do my laundry, so I'm going to create a washing machine. I don't like trying to interpret the stars and the sun to tell the time, so I'm going to make a watch. That's actually the example he gives. Derech Mashal, Uman Ha'osek Klei Shaos, a person who makes a clock or a watch, a Koren Zeiger, he makes a watch for himself. Hine Makdim Tzorech HaKli LeTovaso. He thinks about how is this thing going to benefit me? I don't know the time. That's what's lacking in my life. And this instrument, this tool, is going to solve my problem. And let's say he makes watches and he already has a watch and he knows the time. Why is he making watches? What's he lacking? Money. Parnasa. He's making watches. Kigon sheyesh lo kli kazos. He has this kli already. Hinei osa kedei limchor. He does it to sell. But think about it. How much does he care about the object that he's creating? The object is just a stepping stone. It's a hecha timtza to get what he really wants, which is to know the time, to serve himself, to have more money in the bank. He's not making the watch for the sake of the watch. That would be very altruistic, to make the watch for the sake of the watch. Says the Bnei Yisasser, says the Agra Dekala, where it's bolded. Hine poel kazeh lo yikra poel emes. That's not a true craftsman. He doesn't love the object that he's creating. He's using the object for his own purposes. Ki ein pu'laso emes. The object is not true. It's not a true expression. It's not out of care and concern and consideration for the object. Osa hazayger v'kavanasa ledavar acher. He makes a watch, but his kavana is the money that he's going to make when he sells these handcrafted watches. It could be. It could be. Okay, it could be. It could be. There are some inventors who, I guess, their creations are MS. But more often than not, right? More often than not, if we really boil it down to like, why are you involved in this, right? What are you trying to get out of it? And it's usually not about the thing, right? It's about the pleasure that I get by looking at the beautiful painting that I've created, or I sell the painting, or I get honor for the painting. It's filling something inside of me more often than not. That's not called a poel emes. Masha ein kein habore yisbarach shemo. How do we refer to Hashem at Kiddush Levana? It's a beautiful insight. Poel emes shepulaso emes. Hashem is not lacking anything. That means everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created is what? Is not to fill a void for him. It's out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite kindness that Hashem created us. Hashem is shalim b'tachlis hashleim. Hashem is perfectly wholesome. Lo asapu laso lahashlim chesrono chas v'shalom. Hashem is not lacking anything. If Hashem made you, He made you for you. That's an emistic thing that Hashem did. No ulterior motive, no negios, no biases. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu doing good for the right reason. Emes la'amito. Says the B'nai Yisasra in the second paragraph, V'yotzei lanu mizeh. You know what we learn from this? We learn a tremendous idea. Ikar gadol be'emuna. We learn an amazing thing about everything that Hashem asks us to do or commands us to do. V'tzoracho da zu la'torah v'la'avoda. We need to apply this teaching to our learning, to our avoda. Kevan shenod delanu sha'apoel hatov baruch hu pulaso lehetiv libriosav. When we recognize that Hashem is the truly good one, who only knows how to do good to His created beings, so therefore we come to know shekol tzivui haTorah litov lanu kol hayamim. That means anything Hashem is asking us to do is not for Him, it's for us. Hashem gives you a mitzvah, it's not so much, oh, okay, fine, Hashem's trying to control us, He wants us to be subservient to Him. Hashem, with His infinite knowledge and infinite kindness, says, this is good for you. It's not for me, it's emes. I'm giving this to you for you. A poel emes, a true craftsman, shepulaso emes, whose every move is truthful. Let's come back to the second statement of the Kotzker. Again, the first statement of the Kotzker was that what? Was that Rosh Hashanah is a day where Hashem judges what is true. And the second statement of the Kotzker was what? That the only time that we can imagine a person really gets to the highest point of emes is the Kohen Gadol, in the Kodesh Kadashim, on Yom Kippur. Maybe he can touch that Nekudah of emes. Let's try to understand how Rosh Hashanah begins that process of emes. And Yom Kippur, today we don't have a Kohen Gadol. We all become the Kohen Gadol on a certain level. Can maybe have that Negiah, that touch. We can make contact with emes. What is the role of the shofar? Why do we have a shofar? The famous words of the Rambam. Even though the shofar is a mitzvah, and that's enough of a reason to blow the shofar, says the Rambam in source number 9, Afal pi, shetikia shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeiras hakasuv, even though the real reason we blow a shofar is simply because God said so, remez yeshbo, the shofar has a message. What's the message of the shofar? Uru yeshena mishnascha, wake up you sleepy Jews, v'nirdamim hakitsu mitardemascha, and wake up from your deep slumber. This is, by the way, a very age-old problem. This is a very age-old problem. When Adam HaRishon was put to sleep to make Chava, the Pasuk says that Adam was put to sleep. It never says that Adam woke up. Rav Shimon Schwab said, because Adam, in a certain sense, never woke up. I guess, you know, that's the problem with like all men. Once they have a wife, so the man like sleeps his way through life, hoping that his wife is going to bail him out. But Adam HaRishon is still asleep. We're trying to wake ourselves up. It's an age-old problem. So the shofar is screaming at us. It's been millennia. It's time to like really wake yourself up. V'chapsu b'maseichem. Investigate your behaviors. Chizru b'tshuva. Return to Hashem with real tshuva. Zichru borachem. Remember that you have a creator. And then the Rambam adds these words, which are very meaningful to us in the context of tonight's shiur. Eilu ha-shoichim es ha-emes behevle azman. The shofar is saying, stop forgetting the emes. Behevle azman. You're whittling away your life with all sorts of silliness. You're not focused on the real things in life. And if you're holding by emes, well, you're not holding by emes la'amito. Because the Kotzker and the Rabbonu Sholem, so to speak, on Rosh Hashanah, they want higher standards. Emes is for the rest of the year. What about emes la'amito? Let's dig into it a little bit. Right? Are you really be'emes? Is it emes la'amito, or it's just, again, an emes with rationalizations and an emes that takes into consideration the context of the struggles of your life and Hashem will give you a pass and say, okay, it's emes dik enough. We begin Rosh Hashanah by sounding that shofar to wake us up from what? From forgetting the emes. And how do we end Yom Kippur? 12 years ago, I heard an amazing thing from Rabbi Ephraim Waxman. He quoted from the Bodhislava Rav, which I think he said was his uncle. He said, how many times do we blow the shofar over the course of this entire period of the year? The 40 days, right? From the beginning of Elul to the 40th day of Yom HaKippurim. So let's think about it. So most of us have a minhag in shul. We blow a short set of shofar blasts. But if you look in the Bach, in his commentary on the Torah, Tavkuf Tzadi Beis, the Bach says, really, there are those who say you should blow a full 10 sounds every day. Right? Tekiya, Shvarim, Tekiya, Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya, Tekiya, Shvarim, Trua, Tekiya. Right? To blow the full set, the full 10 sounds. How many days in Elul do we blow the shofar? How many days in Elul do we blow the shofar? So, well, you have to do a little math, because you have to say, hold on, well, we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. We don't blow the shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So, B'sach HaKol, we blow the shofar 24 times. 24 days, I'm sorry, 24 days. So, according to this calculation, 10 blasts a day times 24 days is 240 shofar sounds in Elul. How many days of Rosh Hashanah? 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. How many shofar blasts each day of Rosh Hashanah? 100 per day. That's another 200, up to 440. But at the end of Yom Kippur, we blow the shofar one last time. Tekiya Gedola, Hashanah Haba, Birushalayim. What's that 441st shofar bless? Said the Bodhisattva Rav, 441 is Gematria Emes. 441 is Gematria Emes. That over the course of Elul, and at the end of, after screaming, Shemir Hashem Echad, Hashem Hu Elokim, and you blow that shofar blast, you say that last kaddish, you blow that shofar blast. That mamish, that's what the Kotzker says. A Jew can touch that nekuda called emes, can reach that highest point. That's what we're working on from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippurim, and hopefully if at Rosh Hashanah we start with a little emes, by Yom Kippur we can get to emes lamito. We can get really to that level of emes lamito. I'm learning this year with my students in YU. Every Thursday, each year, we pick a different Hasidic Sefer on the Parsha to learn. This year, we're learning the Degel Machane Ephraim from the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. It's been amazing. It's an amazing Sefer. So there's a piece he has in the Likutim on Parshas Nitzavim, this Shabbos, which I didn't learn with the students today, with the guys today. But it's a beautiful piece, and I want to use it in the context of tonight's share. The Pasuk says, Re'ei nasati lefanecha sachayim v'satov uvecharta b'chayim. One of the most beautiful psukim. Choose life. That's what we're doing during these days. The books are open. Choose life. Dine shamati kushyos hafilosofim. Source number 10, he says, I've heard the question of the philosophers. Hamashinoda shetzarech ha'adam leilich b'derech ha'mamutza. A person, look at the words of the Rambam, is supposed to take the shvil hazav, the middle path. How do you get exactly to the middle path? The philosophers say, well, if you want to really find the middle, I have to go as far to the right as I can. I have to go as far to the left as I can. And then I'm able to find where the middle really is. But the Torah doesn't let us go as far to the right or as far to the left, whatever your understanding of to the right and to the left means. So how on earth are we supposed to find that middle path? So says the Degel Machane Ephraim, the fourth line, V'nira li, it appears to me, al derech hayadua. Dimidas emes, himida emtzais. When we talk about the sviros, and their corresponding Torah personalities, Chesed is on the right side, corresponds to Avraham. Gvura is on the left side, corresponds to Yitzchak. Yaakov is the wholesome blend, the Ishtam, the complete person, blending the right and the left. Yaakov is Tiferes, and Yaakov is the middle. What was the Midah of Yaakov Avinu? Titein, Emes, LeYaakov. So when a person has Emes, you can find that middle. You can find that central point, the Nekuda Pnimis. Look what he says, where it's bolded. Demidas emes himida emtsais shehi rosh toch sof. He's alluding to Chazal who say that the word emes, interestingly enough, is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the middle letter, and the last letter. So it's a very balanced word. Emes helps a person to find that middle. Ukeshe'odam holich b'derech zu, b'mida zu, ain't sarech lesof kol echer min akitzvos. If you're a person of emes, then immediately you could find the middle. You don't have to be an extremist to the right or to the left to find the ideal middle that Hashem wants you to tread upon. Emes is, so to speak, the middle point. 5 years ago on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this idea in my head, and it's a game changer. It's really a game changer. Rosh Hashanah is not the first day of the year. Not for Jews, at least. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim. What's the first month of the Jewish calendar? Nisan. It's a pasuk in Chumash. So I know it's a machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, was the world created in Tishrei, was the world created in Nisan. And yes, I know we say Hayom Haras Olam, and we talk about it, and I showed you the Rambam from the Baal HaTurim, that Bereishis is Aleph B'Tishrei. We play it that way. But the truth is, the Torah itself is sensitive to the fact that we're about, in a couple of days, to start the seventh month. We're about to begin the seventh month. It's so strange if you actually stop and think about it for a second. The Torah says in source number 11, Uvachodesh Hashvi'i, on the seventh month, Be'echad Lachodesh, on the first of the month, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, Komalechas Avoda Los Asu, Yom Trua Yelachem. You look in Parshas Amor, Zichron Trua, also the first day of the seventh month. Why is Rosh Hashanah the first day of the seventh month? I mean, it's a misnomer. Rosh Hashanah, it's not the Rosh Hashanah. So what is day one of the seventh month? Think about it like this. It's the beginning of what? Of the second half of the calendar year. In other words, it's mamish the middle. Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the seventh month, is exactly the middle point of the calendar. Right? You got 6 months on this side, 6 months on that side. It's mamish the nekuda emtzais. It's that middle point. It's the nekuda pnimis that we're trying to tap into inside of ourselves during these days. And based on the Degel Machane Ephraim said, what's another name for that inner point, that central point? It's called emes. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is dafka, smack in the middle of the calendar. Because on this day, Hashem says, I don't want the superficial you. I don't want you as you begin the project when it starts off well. I don't want you at the end of the project when, of course, you're making your best efforts to try to wrap things up in a good way after you procrastinated for months. Hashem says, I want the emesdik middle point, the nekuda pnimis. I want that middle point. It's an amazing idea to really think about. That Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the middle. It's that central point. It's that most emesdik point inside of ourselves. It's the seventh month. We'd say throughout these days, and Slichos, we'll say it even more on Yom Kippurim, we talk about the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim, how we're trying to arouse HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compassion. There's different ways to calculate and to divide those attributes of Hashem into their 13 components. Rabbeinu Tam has a Shita, the Gaonim and the Rishonim have Shitas, but the Arizal had an approach, which the Vilna Gaon followed, and that's a good camp to be in. The Arizal and the Vilna Gaon said, here's how you count Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Vachanun, Erech, Apayim. How do you break it up? What are the 13? Hashem, Hashem, that's an introduction. That doesn't count. We start, the first midah is called Kel, in source number 12. The second midah is called Rachum. The third one's called Chanun. The fourth one's called Erech. The fifth one's Apayim. The sixth one is Rav Chesed. And the seventh one is called Emes. Because in the seventh month, we're going to have Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to have Yom Kippurim, and we're going to have Sukkot. Sukkot being the 15th day of the seventh month. So interesting. It's the beginning of the year. It's the beginning of us being more emistic. That's what it really is. It's us getting in tune with that innermost point. So it's not by chance that the seventh of the 13 midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. I want to wrap up the last couple of minutes in a very, very practical way. A lot of nice ideas, but I want to say very practical things. Mor Nechama Leibovitz, one of the great teachers of our times, of recent times, used to say the following. She said, you know, in school, they taught me as a child that between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you have to be your best. You have to impress. Hashem's watching, you know. Dirshu Hashem, behimatzo. Try to win Hashem's favor when Hashem's watching. In school, they taught me as a child, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you gotta be your best. You want to look emistic. Look emistic. She said, in my home, they taught me to be my best between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. From Yom Kippur all the way to Rosh Hashanah. That's emes lamito. A person who's consistent through and through. A person who knows that I'm going to be exactly the same way on Yom Kippur and on Rosh Hashanah as I am on a regular Tuesday. In the Olam Amidos, okay, got your shout out. In the Olam Amidos, a beautiful sefer, written by a contemporary Rav, Rabbi Kestenbaum, he quotes on page 33 that they said about the Chavetz Chaim, that when the Chavetz Chaim passed away, they said, the Chavetz Chaim was a gadol amiti. He was a true gadol. You know why? Because the Chavetz Chaim was exactly the same by Ne'ila on Yom Kippur as he was davening Geshmona Esrei on a Tuesday afternoon in the middle of the winter. The Chavetz Chaim was an ish emes. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky tells a story in the Sefer Olam Amidos on page 34. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was known to be an ish emes. He prided himself on the midah of emes. Rav Yaakov was once accused as a child by one of his rebbeim of something went missing in class, and the teacher asked Rav Yaakov, did you steal it? And Rav Yaakov was so hurt that the teacher even asked him, because he said, emes is my main thing, that's my midah. His sefer on Chumash called Emes LeYaakov. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was once sitting at a suda with a bunch of rabbanim, you know, some gala dinner, and the waiter is coming around taking orders. Would you like the chicken? Would you like the steak? Would you like the fish? No. So the rabbis, everyone's looking to see what the other rabbis are going to order. I want to be gluttonous and take the, I'll have the fish. Next hour, I'll have the fish, I'll have the fish, I'll have the fish, I'll have the fish. No, no one wants the steak, I'll have the fish. Rabbi Yaakov says, I'll have a steak, I'll take the meat. Rabbi Yaakov later explained, he said, I had the same cheshbon that they had. Right? Everyone was trying to avoid taiva. But they didn't realize they had to choose between taiva and gaiva. Everyone chose gaiva and I chose taiva. That's an ishamas. Titan emes liyakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Salvechik in the final source, in source 13. In the Drashos HaRav, it says an individual must be the same person on the street, at home, in the office, in his bedroom, and in shul, as he is when he stands wrapped in his talis during the ilah. And Rav Salvechik went on to belittle people who are hypocritical. People who act one way in a certain environment, and they're a totally different person when they're in private. He says, my grandfather of Chaim Brisker didn't wear the rabbinic garb that the Choshev Rabbanim in those days wore. Because Rav Chaim insisted. He was the Gadol Sheba Gedolim. Rav Chaim Brisker said, no, no, no. Whatever I wear at home is what I wear in the street. I don't need the kavod in the street. My family knows who I really am. I'm also a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm a husband. I want to be an Ish Emes. And that's what's being demanded of us during these days. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bail us out the way He bailed out the world when He saw that Bereishis Bara Elokim wasn't going to make it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to negotiate. And Emes is still called Emes. We paskin a lot, like Beis Hillel. But once in a while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, come on, give me what I really wanted. Let it be Emes, let it be Emes La'amito. The Gemara says, anyone who's done, a judge, a person, on a basin. That's the context of the Gemara. A person who does a judgment, who's involved in judgment, who's done a din emes la'amito, a judge who judges honestly, authentically, emes la'amito, is a shutaf, is a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Maisa Bereishis. These are the days not only when Hashem judges us, but we're also judging ourselves. And we have to ask ourselves, am I satisfied with being emistic? Understanding that emes has a little bit of Rachmanis mixed in, or do I want to be emes la'amito? I heard from a Rav a couple of years ago that the gematria of Ksiva v'chasima tova is gematria Elul plus Rosh Hashanah. It's a nice remez. You have that one, Tate? 928. Elul plus Rosh Hashanah is gematria Ksiva v'chasima tova. But I want to wish you a different Ksiva v'chasima tova. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as I was putting together this year, I said, you know what? What's the gematria of emes la'amito? Emes la'amito, what's the gematria? Exactly 928. Ksiva v'chsima tova is exactly gematria emes la'amito. So give us a bracha. We should be emes la'amito. We should be authentic Jews. We should be real with ourselves. We should be real with our families. We should be real with the borei olam. And like our Salvechik said, I have to be the same person. I don't want to be one guy in the office or one girl in this environment. I want to be the same person through and through. An ish emes. Really an ish emes. And in that way, we can give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the nachas of going back to the way Hashem wanted the world to be. Bereishis Bara Elokim, Sofei Tevos Emes. And Amir Tashem, if we can be emistic, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless all of us with an amazing year up ahead. Ksiva Chsimatov.